Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, land, plants, and wildlife here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and joining me in the studio today is dear friend and longtime collaborator Jessica Schleif. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Teresa.
And I asked Jessica especially to come on this show because this show has been brewing in my mind for a really long time. And a lot of conversations have been happening lately, and this topic keeps coming up, and we're going to talk about getting older in the garden, growing older with your garden, with your farm, and how do we adapt, especially if it's something that you've been doing for a long time, and then all of a sudden you're like, I can't do that anymore. I can't grow that anymore. My knees won't do that anymore. And the challenges that can present, you know, sometimes when we're younger, we build something huge. You know, we have all the energy in the world. And then, you know, you hit your older years. And I will say this, I turned 60 this year, and I'm in great shape for a 60-year-old. Uh-huh. But man, these last 5 years have been a lesson in, whoa, you know, maybe you just can't do that anymore.
Oh, Teresa, thank you so much for having me in for this conversation.
Well, I couldn't think of anyone better because you also have been tending gardens for probably your entire life, but like professionally, how long have you been doing this?
Like 30 years as in my own gardening. Mm. And before that, some years working for other gardeners.
Yeah. And how old are you now?
I am 56.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right in that zone too. And that was like, yeah, I think it was like from 55 to 60, I was suddenly like really aware of not even so much just the arthritis that's kicking in different parts of me, but like the stamina that I just can't, like I can't work hard. And then work a little bit harder. It's like hard. I got to go sit down.
Yeah, there's definitely a natural progression with what I can do these days. I sometimes look back and think about working all day and then coming home and working in my own garden for, you know, till dark.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes with a headlamp.
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
I remember headlamp harvesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely been a little bit of a journey to not compare myself to my younger self.
That is so hard because there's this sense of I should be able to do this.
I used to be able to do this.
Why can't I work at that same pace? Why can't I keep doing these things? And you know, in some ways, it almost like the injuries that I've suffered over the years have been a weird gift, in that like I have arthritis in my knees. Like I can't kneel.
Yeah,
I can't kneel.
Yeah.
And so if there's something that requires you to kneel on your knees, either I have to not do that anymore or I have to adapt. I mean, I've got really good at crouching. Mm-hmm. I've got a really good crouch and I can squat somewhat too, you know, and I'm figuring out different ways of like harvesting that's not kneeling, but it is making me think about, wow, okay, how much longer can I grow this crop? How much longer can I do this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there a way, and I have tried kneeling pads, that is, it's just,
yeah,
it's the pressure on the knees.
Kneeling pads don't work for me. I also am I have knee pads. I do, and I use them sometimes. I really like those gel pads. Mm-hmm. I have multiple pairs of knee pads.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I find myself in a natural crouch. Mm-hmm. Or a, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I've used a stool. I really love those tiny gardening stools.
Yep.
Like
I love a good stool.
That's not really a thing that I've used professionally, but I love it at home.
Oh man, I've been looking at these stools that are on wheels. Mm-hmm. Like these little, I feel so, I mean, like I used to poo-poo those. I would say even like 10 years ago, I'm never going to use one of those. And now I'm like, oh, I could go up and down the rows and like harvest my green beans and like just roll
along.
Well,
and sometimes if those stools have those little handles, use that. I see myself so much more often using my tool that I'm like, if I have a long handled tool, mm-hmm. that I'm a shovel, mm-hmm. or a, you know, my little lady shovel or whatever. I'm seeing myself using that as a cane these days, where I'm like,
or pushing yourself above the ground.
I'm like, oh, It's just a little assist.
Yep.
I'm not putting all my weight on it, but it's kind of nice sometimes. I see it.
I know. And I want to say, too, like, if anybody's listening to this and you are younger, I mean, you think this show is not for you, I also want to say, like, part of me is trying to talk to younger people and talking to my younger self and saying, gosh, I wish I'd started stretching more regularly when I was younger.
Well, see, my younger self could talk to me now. I was such a better, like, yoga stretching person. And I do, you know, I do stretch now.
You're so much better than me.
It's not about being better.
Well, I know.
And I still have a really hard time making routines. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be, I don't know, I haven't connected with a class in town in the same way I have as in the past.
Yeah. But stretching, I think stretching, whatever stretching looks like to you, whether it's just stretching, whether it's a yoga, whether it's a something, keeping your muscles limber is huge.
Huge. Keeping yourself hydrated.
Having
enough snacks or protein while you're working.
Yeah, because those things really change, and they change as our bodies get older, you know, and our bone density changes. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's something I'm thinking this winter I'm probably going to start trying to do some weight training, because I'm realizing, like, I still need to be able to deadlift, like, a 50-pound bag of fertilizer or chicken feed or something. Like, and sometimes I'm, especially in the spring, if I've had a, you know, after winter and I haven't been doing as much, it's like, I can't lift that.
Well, and really thinking about our body ergonomics, like how we're using our body, like where we're coming from when we are kneeling, like, are we in a kneel that's connecting in with our core strength?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we in a kneel that we're really still engaging our feet?
Yeah.
How are we using our hands? Are we working at something 4 feet away and leaning over to get there? Or are we lining ourselves up in front of our work and continually changing where we are as we're changing the work? Are we going and getting that tool that we actually need instead of using our hoary to dig a hole for a 2-gallon plant or something? Are we sharpening our tools?
Oh, that was the thing I was going to say, sharpening. You are so good. You carry like a little whetstone with you and are constantly sharpening your cutting tools, which I really need to start. I mean, I do sharpen them every once in a while, but I'm not as good as you. And I think, like, having shears or having something where you're not having to really struggle to cut.
Yes, it's so important. I have a designated Shifton Wheeler bag, one of their little
totes.
Like a little shaving kit bag. And I have, you know, a sharpening stone. I have a quick sharpener. I have my oil that I use, my Tri-Flow that I use for my tools. I have a Leatherman in there. And when I get set up to work, that just comes out now. That just comes out, and it's there. And it's not only for my secateurs, but if I'm going to use shovels, if I'm going to use a half moon shovel, if I'm going to use it, I try to just go ahead and give them a quick sharpen.
Yep. Those are it's so important. And if you're not comfortable with sharpening your tools, you know, find someone who can help you with that. You know, maybe like ask your local master gardeners and see if there's resources out there. I know sometimes certain things like repair cafes or things like that, there can be sharpening at. You know, especially for smaller hand tools or cutting tools. And any of that really helps reduce the stress on our hands and on our bodies as we're cutting. I mean, because I'm noticing this, there was a really tragic thing that happened to me recently where I grow lots of flowers and I love growing flowers. Mm. And I love making bouquets and I love making those beautiful handheld bouquets like you would make at the market and you're making them in the moment. And I had an order for some in the last couple of months, and I was making them and realizing, like, I can't hold them anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I can keep doing that. I mean, right. I can still make bouquets in jars or containers and arrangements, but that, like, holding the bouquet while you're putting flowers in and turning it and doing more and the gripping, I don't think I can do that anymore. And I was just like, I mean, I could. I mean, and that's that thing where I could still keep pushing. I could take a little ibuprofen. I could, like, push through it. But part of me is also saying, like, hey, maybe that's something you need to set down. Maybe you don't
maybe
need to do that.
Yeah, and maybe that's something that you occasionally do for your own self.
But you can change. And that is...
But not making 25 of them in a row.
No, and it's hard. And I think this is something that, you know, I also want to, I mean, I feel, it's like, I feel safe talking to you about this, but also I'm like talking to lots of people about this, but it's like, there is a grief sometimes when we have been doing something for a really long time and we love doing it, but our body is telling us, you just can't do that.
Change is hard.
Anymore, or you can't do it in the same way. And having to set those things down, having to let them go. Maybe, you know, maybe you're someone who's like had a big house, had a big garden, and you've had to downsize. You've had to like sell your house, sell your garden, and move into an apartment or a smaller house. Maybe you don't even have a garden anymore, or maybe it's much smaller than what you had. And that loss of, you know, what you used mm-hmm. to have or what you used to grow. I think about like plants that I'm like, I probably shouldn't grow that anymore, but I'm going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to
mm-hmm.
miss that plant.
I really appreciate that, acknowledging the grief. And it's then hard. Also, freedom. I know folks that have, you know, sold their house and garden and moved into an apartment right here in town mm-hmm. and are finding real joy with a small balcony garden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that you can, I mean, you can focus on the grief and you can really hone in on like, I'm so sad, I'm having to not do that and acknowledge that, but also.
And then someone can sell you a whole bunch of stuff.
or like, and I think about this too. So this was something else that I wanted to talk about is like, also there's, you know, asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everyone's in a position to hire someone to come and help them with their garden, but maybe you can ask friends to help, younger friends. Maybe there's just people in your neighborhood, or if you are a neighbor and maybe you have an older neighbor in your neighborhood and you see them maybe struggling to mow their lawn or get their yard work done, maybe see if you can help,
mm-hmm.
you know, reach out mm-hmm. and say, hey, could I mow your lawn for you? Or can I help you prune those things? Or what if, you know, some neighbors get together and we all come and help you?
Mm-hmm.
Those are really wonderful ways to connect. And you've been telling me wonderful stories about the community garden in your neighborhood.
The Gray School Community Garden, which I participated in before when mm-hmm. It first started. I was in there for a number of years and even planted some columnar apple trees and some berries that I've now returned to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Parks and Rec department, was under their purview, but the master gardeners have taken it over now. And Janelle Carrera, let me shout out. She's the program lead for the Gray School Garden and just doing such an amazing job of bringing the community together there. And it's something that she told me she learned some about gardening, just having a spot there and having other gardeners, more experienced gardeners,
mm-hmm.
Showing her how to grow things. And when the lead position came up and she'd taken the Master Gardener program, she just jumped in there. She was like, this is so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to keep this going and foster this. And it has just turned into such a beautiful, there's work parties, everybody can help each other with things,
mm-hmm.
There's a knowledge being passed, we now have a new tool shed, people are filling that tool shed with tools, and we're having master gardener classes there, like a tree pruning workshop, those sorts of situations, like our neighborhood, a neighborhood garden where we can connect with other people and do exactly what you're talking about. Join forces a little.
Yeah, and help each other out. And it's that thing where, like, if you have, you know, maybe you live in an apartment or you live in a smaller place where you can't really have a garden, you know, trying to get a plot at a community garden. I mean, I don't know how many are left in this area anymore.
And you can get on waiting lists.
I wish more would start up.
I do too.
A while, it felt like there was such a vibrant community garden thing happening. I know Seaside still has the railroad garden there mm-hmm. on the highway. I don't know if there's still one in Hammond. There used to be a little one in Hammond that
I'm
was so
sure
sweet, and I'm not
still
sure.
Going.
And there was at least another one in Astoria, and there used to be one in Emerald Heights. And there was a real movement of them, I want to say, like in the mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think that you know, the challenges of managing them and maintaining them kind of fell by the wayside. But if you're passionate about community gardens and, you know, maybe you could get one started in your neighborhood if one doesn't exist and there's a place that maybe one would be appropriate, or in your community somewhere, because that can also be a great way to continue to garden, but on a much smaller scale.
And I see it within that garden. There's elders in that garden that, you know, I have helped, and I'll come into the garden and there's someone helping that person too.
Yeah.
Helping them water, they're getting to sit down and enjoy the fruits mm-hmm. of the labor while someone else is doing a little bit of the work.
Yeah, and that's something so beautiful about that. I think encouraging that kind of multi-generational help, but engaging in work like that. And those are ways that I think we can take the sting out of, I'm getting too old for that. Oh, I can't do that anymore. It's like, well, you can still do some. You can still do part of it.
It's that, too. It's, you know, we don't need to have acres and acres. We can do these things. We can engage with nature. We can engage with growing some food or herbs or flowers. And it does not have to be at a farm scale.
Yeah. Well... I mean, unless it's your job, and then that's it. I know. I just want to take a quick break here to reintroduce my guest. If you're just joining us on KMUN for In Season, I'm talking with Jessica Schleif, my dear friend and collaborator, and we're talking about getting older in the garden, getting older on the farm. How do we adapt? How do our bodies adapt? How do we adapt what we're growing? You know, one of the exciting things that I've done this year, you know, in a sense, is recognizing, like, in the farming world, farming is a really hard job. It's very physical. And growing produce, especially, is, wow, that is backbreaking work. And I realized a few years ago that, like, I don't think I can, you know, I'm never going to grow salad mix again. That's just, like, my body is just saying, no, you cannot do that. But there was a lot of other things, like, that you, to do it well, you really have to always be flipping your beds, and you're pulling this thing out and putting more in, and the pace of it is pretty relentless. And so I'm leasing a small part of our farm to a new farm in our area, Fed Up Produce. Mm-hmm. Caitlin and Emily, they're killing it. They're doing such a great job. And it's small. They're starting small, but they're doing really great stuff and really doing a lot of good produce. And it's been hard on some level emotionally to be like, I guess I'm not growing that anymore. I guess that's not me anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'm also so excited to see younger people taking it up and doing it and prospering and being able to do it so well. And again, there's like a celebration of, I don't have to try and do all of that. It's still happening. Mm-hmm. You know, that stuff's still being grown and community people are still eating it.
But again, acknowledging your grief that things are changing.
Oh, you know, it's like, oh, I wish, you know, but I'm still able to grow plenty of stuff, you know,
right.
And I'm not quitting by any means, but I'm trying to focus on growing things that are maybe a little bit kinder to my body, or mm-hmm. things where there's maybe some intense periods of work, but then for a lot of like growing garlic, you know, it's a lot of work to get it in the ground and a lot of work to get it out, but for like almost 6 months,
for
7
sure.
months, it's just sitting
for
there.
Sure. I think about this a lot with the perennial mm-hmm. berries, you know, the elder, but so much of my back garden now is elderberries, blueberries. Mm-hmm. I'm barely working the beds, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to put in more things like that.
Yeah,
I added some basket willow. I'm thinking about putting in more berries.
Yeah. So tell me about that. Just, I mean, like, as people think about, because we were talking before the show, and you were mentioning some plants that you've been looking at as like plants that are lower maintenance, maybe introducing natives into your garden, things that don't need as much care or constant care, you know, and switching.
And that we can transition mm-hmm. our ornamental gardens and even our food gardens, or if we have those combined mm-hmm. together, as I do, thinking about going into lower maintenance, lower water plant material, plant friends, and we can develop that slowly. We can add natives in there and see how it's, you know, what that's like. We can not grow some of those heavy deadheading crops or things that just take so much food and so much water and so much care and so much getting down on your knees.
Mm-hmm.
Raised beds, boy. Looking at the community garden, the
raised beds. I know. I wish I could just like somehow raise up my whole farm.
I know, when you were saying the greens thing, I just saw greens at a giant table.
Well, you know, and it's, I mean, this is something that I'm thinking about. So I am also trying to plant more perennial berries, you know, blueberries, raspberries and things. And it's like, I love strawberries. I love them. People love them. I love to, you know, make jam with them. Man, harvesting strawberries is rough.
Yeah.
And so I'm really looking at what are things that I can harvest standing up. And, you know, and it's like, that's okay. There may come a time when I don't grow strawberries anymore.
Or maybe
I just grow a tiny amount for me.
Exactly.
And that's the other thing too. Like sometimes if you're used to growing a huge amount of something, maybe you just have one or two. You don't have to have a whole bunch, you know, just have a little bit. Maybe you used to grow like a ton of tomatoes. Well, maybe just have, you know, one plant, you know, some cherry tomatoes that you can still get that fresh just out of your garden flavor. And then, you know, go to the market and buy tomatoes from a farmer or someone, or get a friend down the street who's still doing a lot.
Supporting our farmers. And I think that that is a really good point. Not all of us need to be farmers. Mm-hmm. And it's a great thing to support your farmers and strategizing what you're going to grow yourself or grow at your community garden plot or in your own garden.
Yeah. And that can be too, like looking around your neighborhood, looking amongst your friend groups, and maybe you do have a younger friend who has a bigger garden and more energy. And maybe they grow some of that stuff. And you're like, can I be growing the blueberries? And I'll trade you my blueberries for your, you know, tomatoes and cucumbers, you know, or something like that. And, you know, again, just thinking like we don't have to all do it all. And the exchange is part of building community.
And building
relationships.
And the elders we have knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We have knowledge that we can pass freely to younger generations that are thirsty for it.
They are, but also, man, do they want to do it their own way too. It's fun.
Well, we all have to do
that. I know.
And if I could tell my younger self something, I would tell my younger self, you don't have to do it all right and perfect. The first time. You can experiment.
Absolutely.
You can be curious. You can recognize that we have a whole bunch of brainwashing around us to tell us that aging is not natural and that we should do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
We are nature. We are going to grow old. We're going to grow ill. Our knees are going to quit working.
Yeah.
And finding the ways that we can do that with grace.
Yeah, absolutely. I think grace for ourselves and grace for like all the things we're letting go of and then bringing in. And I think too, you know, I realize when I'm talking to people younger than myself, like I can offer like, here's what I did and here's what's worked for me, but also recognizing that they need to work it out for themselves too. And that the making mistakes is also a really profound part of the learning process. And it's like, you have to kill a lot of plants to learn how to keep them alive. And that's okay.
For sure. And also, some of my biggest teachers are children. I mean, watching some of the ways that they're doing things in the garden, I'm like, oh, look at you transporting all the snails into the woods.
It's great when you have the time and the energy.
Yeah, exactly.
But those are just wonderful things to think about. And so, yeah, I guess in a sense, if I could offer like positive thoughts about this, because again, I think you're right. Our culture speaks about aging and getting older so negatively, and as if it's this problem, it's this tragedy, it's this terrible thing that's happening to you. And again, you need to fight it. Or you need to deny that it's happening, or you need to be upset or angry about it.
Or
you need to buy something more likely. Yeah, I know, to fix it. And I mean, I just want to like acknowledge like sometimes there is grief involved. Sometimes there's sadness
for
having to let go of something that you used to be able to do. But there are also opportunities, and accepting the process. Like you said, it's happening.
Not only that, realizing that the privilege of aging.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And embracing that privilege.
Yeah. And that it's just a different phase of your life. It's a different phase of your garden's life or your farm's life. And I mean, the humbling thing that I've found, especially in watching the property that our farm is on, and there's the parts that, you know, we're farming and more actively engaged in, and there's the parts of the farm that we're just sort of letting rewild themselves gently, or sometimes not so gently, and realizing like, the land is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Without me. You know, it may not do what I'm doing, but if I'm not there, it will be fine. The plants will be fine. Some of them won't make it. Some of them will. You know, there's a humility, I think, that comes to that in recognizing that nature will continue on in some form or another, and it's okay to step back from parts of those relationships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. I'm still sad. I'm still sad. But I am also. I see the opportunities too, in trying new things, and I do love learning new things. So
yeah, exactly. And also, we can't stress enough that this is our opportunity to create that native plant garden. Mm-hmm. Like this is, you know, there are opportunities in there to change what we're doing and have fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, just because this is the way you've always done it or done it for the last decade, that doesn't mean that that's how you need to keep going forwards. Mm-hmm. And I guess too, you know, part of what's prompted this in me is, you know, recognizing that I am still in pretty good shape, you know, knees aside. But that, you know, I'm looking ahead for the next decade and realizing, mm-hmm. you know, 70 is different than 60. I think about the difference between when I turn 50 and when I turn 60 and how different my body feels. And I'm like, whoa, this next decade, I've got to get ready for that. So I want to start making some changes before I have to.
Weight training. T's going to start weight training.
Or so, I mean, just, but like trying to prepare and, mm-hmm. and look forwards and be like, okay, this is coming. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to be angry about it. I'm just going to be like, okay, that's coming. How can I make changes now that are going to make that transition easier?
Giving your future self some little treats.
Well, I've never done it before, so I may as well start now. I mean, I'm really talking to 50-year-old me going, God, you could have set me up better. You know? Could have made some changes earlier. You know, let's think about this. So it, yeah, maybe that is me like learning from, you know, past selves that, you know, younger me that really thought I was going to, you know, be strong and have energy and have stamina and do all those things and just be able to work like that forever and didn't really ever think like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, I think there was a conceptual someday I'm going to have to slow down. But I think I thought it maybe was like when I was going to be 80. Right. I don't know. Right. I don't know what I was thinking. So I think it is more like if I've learned anything, it's like, nope, prepare now. Start making the changes before you need to make them. Because when you have to make them, it's hard. Because oftentimes you're not maybe being as thoughtful or having the space to be as thoughtful. It's more like, nope, you can't do this anymore. You got to stop right now.
Yeah. And I've watched people stop gardening. I've been the recipient of people giving me their tools when they've said, oh, I'm going to stop gardening. And I don't want to stop.
No.
I don't want to stop. I watch those people leave very soon after that, you know?
Yeah, and it's recognizing, like, I would like to keep doing some form of this, you know, until, I mean, my goal is to just, like, keel over next to my compost pile and just, like just, like, throw a little bit of compost on top of me and call it good, you know? Goals.
Teresa the Transcendentalist.
Well, no, but I just, like, I would like to be, I mean, I would like to be out in my garden or on my farm or do whatever, but I would like to be able to do that until, okay, maybe more. So, like, I had a really great day out in my garden and then I just go to sleep and boom, that's it.
I love it.
That would be great.
I love it.
Goals. Anyway, thank you for having this conversation with me, Jessica.
Oh, Teresa, thank you so much for having me.
And thanks to everybody for listening to us. And, you know, if you have thoughts about this, you know, share them, get in touch, reach out, and you're not alone. We're all going through this on some stage.
Embrace the change.
Embrace the change. All right. Thanks so much. Talk to you next time.